ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 8 as we continue our study through this book. And we're going to look at, again, at victorious Christian living, living that Spirit-filled life. And I'm going to just kind of give you a little bit of an introduction that's going to help lead to where we're going to be this morning. Keep in mind, the children of Israel are in the Promised Land, the land of Canaan, and they had their first victory over their enemy, and it was a mighty enemy, the city of Jericho. The next city in line was Ai, and it wasn't a very strong city, but it was an important city. And because of pride or whatever, they didn't seek the Lord on this one, which is kind of interesting. They sent some spies to take a look at what they needed to get this victory against Ai, and they came to the conclusion that they didn't need all the soldiers. They just needed some 3,000 to get this victory. But again, they did not seek the Lord on this one. This was their plan that they came up with on their own. They also didn't seek if there was any issues within their own heart. They didn't do a heart check. Why was that important? Because as we have seen, there was sin in the camp of Israel. And because they didn't seek the Lord, they didn't do a heart check, and they were on their own. Remember Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, what the Lord tells us. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shorn that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. So sin in the camp of Israel brought them defeat against Ai. In fact, in Joshua chapter 7, verses 4 and 5, this is what we're told. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebrim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Not only that, but listen to what we're told in Joshua 7:12, the reason for their defeat. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Sin had brought defeat into their lives. The Lord wasn't with them. And the Lord tells them, look, I'm not going to fight for you until you destroy the accursed thing from among you. And that's a key point, guys. Sin will keep us in defeat when God wants to give us the victory. We need to destroy those accursed things, those sins in our lives. You don't play with sin, you don't entertain sin, you destroy sin. And that's what the children of Israel had to do. And if you don't deal with sin, what ends up happening is it slowly consumes your life and it eventually destroys you. And in fact, it'll even affect those around you. That's the danger of it. Let me explain it like this. This is a kind of a good picture of what sin does. This guy was walking through the park, and he passed this massive oak tree. And there was a vine that had grown up along its trunk. And it started very small, nothing really to deal with, bother about. But over the years, the vine had gotten taller and taller and taller. And by the time this guy passed by, the entire lower half of the tree was covered by the vine's creepers. And the mass of tiny feelers was so thick that the tree looked as though it had innumerable birds' nests in it. And the tree's in danger now. This huge, solid oak was quite literally being taken over. The life was being squeezed from it. But the gardeners in the park saw the danger. They had taken a saw and severed the trunk of the vine, one neat cut across the middle. The tangled mass of vine's branches still clung to the oak, but the vine was now dead. That would gradually become plain as weeks passed and the creepers began to die and fall away from the tree. How easy it is for sin, which begins so small and seemingly insignificant, to grow until it has a strangling grip upon our lives. And yet, Christ's death has cut the power of sin. The creepers of sin still cling and have some effect, but sin's power is severed by Christ, and gradually, sin's grip dries up and falls away. The problem for us is we can let it consume our lives so much that it can destroy us, like I said. You have to cut it out. You have to crucify the flesh and walk in holiness, the holiness that God desires. And then you'll see the victories that God has for you. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, that you're going to be without sin. We all know the reality of that. But whatever you're feeding is going to be manifested in your life. If you feed the flesh, then that flesh nature will be manifested in your life. If you feed the Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit will be manifested in your life. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, and it's manifested in many, many different ways. But it's that agape love, that unconditional love. Now, here in the book of Joshua, we still have to deal with this battle against Ai. They didn't defeat Ai yet. They were defeated by this little city. So they're still out there. And God has a plan for these guys to give them the victory if they obey him. And I've kind of broken the verses we're going to look at this morning down into four parts. Instructions from the Lord in verses 1 and 2 of Joshua 8. Joshua instructs the people in verses 3 through 8 of Joshua 8. Obedience to the Lord's instructions in verses 9 through 13 of Joshua 8. And the victory against Ai in Joshua 8, verses 14 through 29. So we're going to pick up here in Joshua chapter 8, starting in verse 1. And the whole focus of this is our victory in the Lord, an important topic. This is what we're told. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind." Let's just stop there. Here's the thing. If you've been a Christian for any period of time, you've seen that the Christian life is a series of battles. It's not just one battle and we're done. Kick back in our lazy boy chairs. It's constant battles against the enemy. And the secret to victory, if you want to call it that, depends on how close we're really walking with the Lord. Are we obeying him? God wants us to have this victory, just like he wanted the children of Israel to have the victory at Ai. But it was because of the accursed things, the sin that was in the camp, that caused the defeat. And we have to remember, our victory is always found in him. It's not found in what we've come up with. The children of Israel tried that, and it didn't work. Now, here's the other thing that we have to remember. In our Christian lives, have we ever encountered a setback? Have we ever failed? Have we ever been defeated? We all have. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, well, of course we have. We're going to encounter these things in our lives. What should we do with them? You learn. You know, I remember playing sports when I was young. Yeah, there were sports around when I was young. And especially in, you know, baseball. There were things that people would try to hit the ball over my head, and they would do it. And it frustrated me. I didn't want anyone to hit the ball over my playing the outfield. And so I worked on it. And one of the guys I looked at was Willie Mays. You know Willie Mays' catch over the shoulders? By the time I got out of high school and went to college, I was playing in some city leagues, and I always challenged people, try it. Try to hit the ball over my head. The only way you're going to do it is when you work. You see, you learn from your mistakes. I learned some of the things I was doing wrong. And that's what we do as we're involved in these battles. We're defeated. Yeah. The problem comes when we face these setbacks, these defeats, we just give up. We don't want to fight any longer. We don't want to try. That's the worst thing you can do. I mean, I was just with my grandsons this last week, and I didn't know this was an issue for him. But, you know, his mom was with Julie down in Branson, Missouri, visiting Julie's mom. And so I was watching them. My job was to make sure they don't kill each other. I succeeded. I did good. But he was talking with his mom on the phone, and he was in tears. He goes, "I don't get it. I'm just stopping. I'm not doing it." And it was his math assignment. And now it's all on the computer. You know, you get it wrong, you get put back a little bit, you got a few more problems to do. And he couldn't get this, and it was driving him crazy, and he was in tears. And by the time he got done talking on the phone, I went in there and I said, you know, Liam, let's just pray, okay? Let's pray and then just work on it. You may get it, you may not get it, but don't give up. Because if you give up, you've already been defeated here. So let's try it. And he worked on it and he was getting frustrated. Don't get frustrated. This is a problem, okay? Keep working at it. And he figured it out. And he finished all his homework assignment. He didn't think he was going to finish it. He finished it all. And I said, see, you be patient, you pray, and see, look at what happened here. But that's what happens with us. We get discouraged and we just want to stop. No. Philip Keller put it like this. He said, when we fail, the opportunity for progress remains open to us. But the fact remains that the recovery of lost ground is always painful and costly. Still, we put our hand in God's hand and we press on. Absolutely. You know, walk with God. Stay close to him. Put your hand in his hand because he's not giving up on you. Remember when Jesus was walking on the Sea of Galilee and Peter went out after him, right? And Peter was walking on water until he realized, I can't do this. There's waves crashing over my head. This is ridiculous. And he started to sink. And what did Jesus do? Reached out his hand. Okay, Peter, grab a hold. And I love that about our Lord. You know, the picture I think of is a child learning to walk. And you know how they are. They're kind of like Frankenstein trying to walk. You know, they're stumbling all over the place. It's kind of funny. But they may fall, stumble, may even get dirty. What do parents do? Well, what they don't do is, you know, mock the child or laugh at the child or put the child down. They don't say, loser, right? At least a good parent would never do that. When a child falls, the parent runs over, picks them up, hugs them, going, oh, that was a good try. Keep going. And they encourage them. And it doesn't end there. What does the parent do? Picks the child up and goes, try it again. Try it again. Did the child fail at their first attempt in walking? Sure they did. But the parent didn't give up. And we will stumble and fall. But here's the wonderful news. Never forget us. Our loving Father is always there. And he wants us to walk. He doesn't give up on us. That's got to be an encouragement to you. It is to me. For the children of Israel, they stumbled big time. They lost against the city of Ai that was weaker than Jericho. They lost 36 men in this battle. They didn't lose any men at the Battle of Jericho. They were defeated. And what did they do? Well, they repented. They dealt with the sin that was in the camp. And the Lord says to them now, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Hey, don't worry about this. I'm for you. That had to be an encouragement. And that's what the Lord does in our lives, right? They failed, but now it was time to get up and move on and obey what the Lord was telling them. And that's really my first point, instructions from the Lord. You know, when we lose ground, as they did with Ai, when we fail, as they did with Ai, we need to know how to get back on track so we can gain the victory once again. We need to deal, if there's sin in our life, we need to deal with that. Repent before God and then move forward. You know, remember Paul in what he said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, it's good to understand where you stand as a Christian, and Paul understood this perfectly. He said, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfect. Now we look at Paul, we think, man, of all people, how could he say that? Look at that guy, he was a spiritual giant. Now, he knew the reality. And if, you know, as a Christian, you think you've already attained a certain holiness, that you're perfected, that's just pride, you've already missed it. Paul understood that God was still working in his life and he had more work to be done. And that work was going to continue on until he went home to be with the Lord. And that's true for us. And if we don't see this, then either we're going to become very prideful and look down upon others and we're heading for a fall, or we're just going to just give up. You know, Paul had not attained this perfection, But he didn't mope around in his condition. He pressed on. And it's so easy to get discouraged. It's so easy to get frustrated at the things we do or we don't do. The past is the past. Okay. You have to press on. You have to move forward. You don't live in the past. You learn from it. And if you dwell upon your failures, you're going to be a mess. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. I forget that. What do? I reach forward to those things which are ahead. What's ahead? Jesus. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. God wants us to have that victory. Look to him. See the salvation that he'll bring to the situations you're in. And the difference here now in Joshua chapter 8 versus their loss in chapter 7 is this isn't Joshua's plan against Ai. This is the Lord. He's doing the leading. The Lord is the one who's going to give them the victory. And the victory in the Christian life is not the absence of conflict, but the presence and protection of God in the midst of conflict. That's what the children of Israel were learning. That's what we need to learn. And the Lord told Joshua, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai. He spoke, our king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. What a valuable lesson here. You know, the first time they did battle against Ai, they didn't seek the Lord, they lost. Now they're seeking direction from the Lord, and as they follow the Lord, they're going to see the victory. In fact, God says, it's already yours. You just got to go and take it now. I've given you this victory. Hearing and obeying is so, so important when it comes to the Lord. There's a story about an 81-year-old gentleman with no flying experience. First name was Robert, but there was this dramatic and tragic emergency on his little plane that he went. On June 17th, 1998, he and his 52-year-old pilot friend, Wesley Sickle, were flying from Indianapolis to Muncie, Indiana. And during the flight, the pilot stumped over and died at the controls. That's not good. The Cessna 172 single-engine plane began to nosedive, and he grabbed the controls. He got on the radio and he pleaded for help. Nearby were two pilots who heard the call. Mount Comfort was the closest airport, and the two pilots gave him a steady stream of instructions of climbing, steering, and the scariest part, landing. The two experienced pilots circled the runway three times before the somewhat frantic and totally inexperienced pilot was ready to attempt the landing. Emergency vehicles were called out and ready for what seemed like an approaching disaster. Witnesses said the plane's nose nudged the center line and bounced a few times before the tail hit the ground. The Cessna ended up in a patch of soggy grass next to the runway. Amazingly, he wasn't even injured. Why? Because the pilot listened and followed those instructions as if his life depended on it. And it did. Imagine what would take place in the lives of believers if we listened and obeyed the God with the same earnestness that our life depended on. That should be a powerful lesson to us. God is not going to have us crash and burn if we follow him. I'm not saying it's not going to be, that it's easy. It's not. That's why we need him. He's going to give us the victory that we need in the situations we face. And the interesting thing here is, remember the sin of Achan, that he took the spoils of the victory that he shouldn't have. That was the sin. He was hiding it from the Lord. And if he would have waited, God was going to bless them. But he took the matters into his own hand and he lost everything. You see, in this battle against Ai, they were going to get the spoils of victory. Not at Jericho, it was the Lord's, the first fruits. But here, they were to get the victory. I wonder how many times we miss the blessings that God has for us because we try to rush ahead of him. Don't. Instructions from the Lord, follow them. You know, God gave Joshua a plan for conquering the city of Ai, and he has to follow it. Not just some of it. Well, I like this part, I don't like that part. No. And as we read on, we'll get to the second point, Joshua's instructions, or instructs the people. Look at verse 3 here in Joshua 8. where we're told this. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, "Behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and it will come about, when they come out against us as at the first, that we shall flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, 'They are fleeing before us as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them.' Then you shall rise from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it will be when you have taken the city that you shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord you shall do. See, I have commanded you." The Lord gave Joshua instructions on what they were to do in this battle against Ai. And now we see Joshua take the word of God, and Joshua instructs the people. How does that even relate to us today? I look at it like this. As pastors, as church leaders, as they read God's word, as they get instructed by the Lord in what to do, they then go and share with the people the message from the word of God. And maybe that's a little simplistic, but why does it have to be complicated? I mean, think about it. Do you really think I'm smarter than God? You don't have to answer that. Of course not. Is anyone smarter than God? No. That's something that's important, but it's being challenged today. We think we know better. And thus, if God knows everything, wouldn't it be wise, wouldn't it be smart to listen to what he is telling us in his word? Of course it's important. Of course it makes sense. And yet, what we see today, this growing trend in churches across America, the moving away from expository preaching or teaching verse by verse through the Bible, we have people's opinions instead of God's word, we have book studies instead of Bible studies, and what happens is, you know, we move to topical studies, which can be okay. There's nothing wrong with a topical study, but if that's all the diet you're on, it can be dangerous. I do like Twinkies, but I don't live on Twinkies. Okay? I guess that's kind of the picture. And the reason this can be dangerous is because the person teaching can take you where they want you to go and keep you away from the things that they don't want you to hear. And the Bible, the Word of God, is a collection of 66 books that have been inspired by God, breathed from God to us. And don't we want to hear all that God has?
Absolutely.
I mean, imagine being in the army. You're away from your wife, and all of a sudden you get a letter from her. It's 10 pages long. What do you do with that letter? Do you read page 2? Go to page 5. Go over to 1, read a few verses there. Go over to page 10. Are you kidding me? You read that letter from the opening line to the last line. And you probably read it more than once. Why? Because it's a love letter from your wife. And it's that important. Here it is. A love letter from God. 66 books. Don't we want to hear all that he has for us? His love for us? What he desires us to do? Absolutely. Absolutely. But again, you know, we have moved so far away from what God's word says. Now we have people's opinions. God didn't really mean that. You know, LGBT, you know, God accepts homosexuals. We could have them into the ministry. We can marry gay and lesbian people. We have Christian witches now. I don't even know what to say. You know? We have Christian mysticism that is growing. A few months back, there was a conference here in Wisconsin on Christian mysticism. A church hired a Christian mystic. You go, how can that be? If you want to get somebody off course, what do? You take away the map. That is what they're doing. They have removed the map, and now people don't know what to believe anymore. They're listening to what people say instead of what God says. Guys, I hope I don't give you my opinion, because it's pretty worthless. What does God have to say? See, why is homosexuality wrong? Not because I said so. God did. It's not my view on it. What about living together and you're not married? Sorry, God said that's wrong. And you can go through the scriptures and see what's right and what's wrong. People think, well, God's just trying to ruin our fun. Really? Look at what sex outside of the marriage relationship has brought into our lives. The number of sexually transmitted diseases, deadly diseases like AIDS. That's only come about because of not listening to God. And what we've done now is instead of listening to what God is saying, we push that all aside and now we're into social issues. We're for this and for that, and yet we don't believe the Word of God is living and powerful anymore.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's Word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's Word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.